Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It is the Mike Calta Show. It's 102.5 The Bone, 727-579-1025 or 800-771-1025. Do you know that Ronan Farrow, the son of Frank Sinatra?
Yeah.
The son of Mia Farrow?
Mm-hmm.
Said that he was doing a whole investigative piece on Harvey Weinstein when he had his show on MSNBC. And NBC told him, nix it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and NBC also didn't do a thing on Saturday Night Live this weekend. He actually said it while talking to Rachel Maddow, which means now that it's out, he's allowed to talk about it. But he said he was doing the piece, and then Harvey Weinstein threatened lawsuit, and NBC made him pull it. They didn't win and run it, and he had to take his story over to The New Yorker in order to get it published. It's interesting.
Yeah.
You got a lot of power, and you can keep things under wraps.
Well, that's like, what was it with the Cosby thing, where they're like, hey, we don't want to bring that up. What's her name? Janice Dickinson, supposedly.
Yeah.
That they were like, hey, you're not putting that in your book.
Yep, that's right. Yeah, they told me I couldn't put it in the book. We have, Carmen. I just saw a headline in my prep that I didn't see earlier. Prime Bar in Wesley Chapel, which I've been to a bunch of times, which is in the Groves, shut down for roaches. Thank God I've never eaten there.
Not enough? Or?
Yeah, no, they had a shortage of roaches. Yeah. You know why? They were bringing them in on trains.
We're out of roaches. Sorry, folks. Closed.
Oh, there it is. No, turn around. Keep going. There it is. Blech. What was I talking about before this?
You were talking about Ronan Farrow.
Weinstein. And then there was something after
Saturday Night Live.
Something.
I don't know. Started to say my
Janice
name.
Janice Dickinson, Bill Cosby.
Anyway, yesterday on the show, I told a story about, I'm a huge Yankee fan.
Mm-hmm.
And this way I'm not bandwagoning now. The Yankees are back in the running because, I've been there through the thick and thin of things so much that, when people say the Yankee greats, they go to, Mantle and Gehrig and all those guys. My Yankee greats may be guys that you don't really talk about much if you're not a Yankee fan. Dave Winfield, Don Mattingly, those years. That's when I grew up, and of course then the Jeter years. But Roy Smalley was a player who used to play for the Yankees. I want to say he was, my memory said third base, but somebody pointed out to me that it was a shortstop when he played. But at the old Yankee Stadium, you had the opportunity after the game to wait by the exit where the players came out, and sometimes they would stop and give you autographs. And I had an encounter with Mr. Roy Smalley at one of those games that I told about yesterday, and somehow Spanish was able to track him down. How hard was it to find? Now, I found him immediately. I had to go, let me just look on Twitter and see if he's on Twitter. And sure enough, he was, and I guess he does Fox Sports for the Twins.
Right, yes. Yeah. So, I'd never want to go through those routes. So,
because they'll always tell you no.
Yeah.
Like, even if Roy Smalley was like, I'm dying to talk to you guys, they would say, oh, he's not available
right now. So, I went online and saw that he was also, saw the Fox thing. He does the announcement for the Twins.
So, you tracked him down.
I tracked him down, and then I looked up his contact info from Fox, and it was just some emails, and that never really goes anywhere.
Right.
So, I dug deeper on Google, and I found an old phone, for him. And I called, and it was his daughter's number now.
Oh.
So I spoke with his daughter for about 30 minutes to 45 minutes, and
I bet you she's hot.
She sounded lovely.
He's a handsome man.
She's very nice, and in the middle of the conversation, she asked the same thing. She's like, how did you... I was like, oh, Google's fantastic.
Yeah, it's out there.
Yeah, so we spoke, and then she's like, do you want my dad's number? And I was like, just give me his office number so it's more formal. I'm not trying to bother him. And she's like, no, you sound like a nice guy. I'll give you his personal cell number. So I was like, all right, great.
Well, the best part about it is Roy Smalley doesn't know the story. If
not
you listened on the show yesterday, you know. It's not bad. It's not bad. I can tell you right now. It's just, it's funny.
Yeah.
And Spanish asked him if he would go on the show,
right.
And he said yes. And then he said, should I know what I'm going into? And then he was like, nah, forget it. I'll just find out when I'm on the
and
air.
And the best part was, to me, was he was like, oh, was this Mike Calta? And I was like, yeah. I was like, that's the host. And he goes, yeah. He's like, I'm never really on Twitter. But today, for some reason, my Twitter was blowing up for people to talk about Mike Calta.
Because I was so excited that I found him on Twitter. And then I was like, holy cow, Roy Smalley's on Twitter. And then, I don't know, people may have retweeted it or whatever, and that blows up. So, right now, I'll tell you, if you missed the story yesterday, and if Roy Smalley's listening in his car, it's nothing bad. It's funny.
It is funny.
It was, and we'll relive it with him. And, well, I tried to call my mother yesterday, because she's involved, too. And no, he did not, to my knowledge, have sex with her, if he's listening.
To your knowledge.
No, you know, Anthony Cumia from Opie and Anthony, he would tell stories that his mother, I think his mother at the time was banging a lot of the Mets.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't remember. He shouldn't say a lot. But he said he would wake up and there would be like Mets in his house.
Was she a slump buster?
No. I would imagine she's probably not bad looking because she's got a hot sister, you know? So I don't know. I'm supposed to go by there on Monday. To the Anthony and Artie show.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, just to check it out, not to do anything, just to say hi and see them. I got have a lot to do in 48 hours that I'm there, so it should be good. All right, so should we bring David Harbin, or should we just try to call Roy Smalley now? Is he available now, you think?
Let me check. I just want to double check and see.
What, are you going to text him?
Yeah. Surprisingly, yeah.
Hey, Smalls, what's going on?
Yeah, not Smalls. Roy Smalley. So Roy,
I call him Smalls.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know you guys.
He's
were
a little
talking.
Guy too.
We could call him. He said he's should be available now.
All right, try him and see. Carmen, you got his number?
Yeah.
Yeah, you call him and see if he's available. And for
super
those
cool
of you,
guy,
it's so funny. Is listen to this. This is funny. I text Eric Stengel yesterday, who is also a big Yankee fan, a sports fan in general, but also a sports nerd of sorts. And I text Eric and I go, "Hey, well, I gotta get to where I sent it to him. I said to him, do you remember Roy Smalley? And he wrote back, yes, shortstop, 82, 83, former Twin. His dad played. He just like knew everything about him. He just shot completely.
That's Eric?
He was a 220 hitter and blah, 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 blah. And then he goes, by the way, best text I've ever gotten at night is, hey, by the way, do you know Roy Smalley? Remember Roy Smalley? Yeah, that's Eric. Eric knows all that stuff. Eric knows all the baseball stuff. Justin's just a Star Trek nerd. I hope to see the two of them while I'm up there at some point.
That would be nice if they don't try to avoid you.
Do they?
Yeah.
It is busy at the moment.
Oh, man. No, Spanish told everybody how to get his phone number on Google. They're probably all blowing him up right now.
I'm sorry. I'm going through my Twitter real quick, and it's all about the train stuff.
Oh, yeah.
People are... this guy, Ryan, that one dude, Ryan, on Twitter, wrote... Calvin, was that guy a train?
Yeah, his favorite. Yeah, he goes, "What is that guy an actual train?"
Oh, that's so funny. That's the only reason you would argue. And people saying we didn't go to the moon, we went to the moon. My dad told me.
Yeah, right. So
you dad confirmed it.
Yeah, confirmed.
He also drank milk with crushed black pepper in it. So
buttermilk.
CIA.
Yeah.
You know how we got there? Train.
No. You don't take.
What
a
if
train
your dad was in fact drinking eggnog with
pepper?
No, not pepper. Cinnamon? No, nutmeg. Ooh. That's what you're supposed to put in eggnog. Yeah. Nutmeg. So what if your dad was really drinking that?
It was buttermilk. Like, why do you think? I have a very good memory. It was buttermilk.
Yeah.
And he used to put salt and pepper on it. And I tried it. I was like, oh, let me try that. And it was terrible.
Horrendous. Huh?
Oh, it was so bad.
Yeah, I don't know.
But he also used to eat, what was the pickled herring, which looks like the most disgusting thing. It's cloudy water with onions in it, and it's the fish, and it still has like the skin on it and stuff.
Yeah.
It's delicious.
Oh, really?
Oh, pickled herring's so good.
You made me pickle pinwheels, and it is just filled with things that I hate.
Yeah.
Including cold cuts.
But it's good, right?
It was delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the party go-to.
Do you remember the worst thing you've ever eaten?
The worst thing? Oh, yeah, tripe.
Oh, that's the worst thing ever?
The worst thing ever.
Really?
It is the worst thing ever.
I love tripe and pork belly.
Two different ways, too. Because I had it Italian tripe.
Asian way and Italian way.
Yeah, and then I had Filipino tripe, and it was bad both ways.
Really?
Oh, my God. It was so bad because the way they make it in the Philippines is they had like onions, and it looked like it was potatoes. It looked like some sort of hash brown type thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that looks like it'll be good. And it's my sister-in-law's mother, and her whole group group, they make all kind of spring rolls and all this stuff, and it's always delicious.
Yeah.
It's so bad that I put it in, I tasted it, and then I could feel my brother and our friend looking at me because they were waiting for me to eat it.
Oh, really?
Because they knew how bad it was.
Ugh.
It was so bad.
I remember the first time that I had gefilte fish.
Yeah.
I've always heard that, and it's like a big Jewish thing. And then my father-in-law was like, "You like fish? Try the gefilte fish." And I was like, "Nope, don't really want to try it. It doesn't look very good." And then my brother-in-laws were eating it, and I'm like, "Well, they're cool, you know." And all right, and I figured, you know, a good way to get on my future father-in-law's side. And I took a piece and put it on a cracker, I think, and put it in my mouth. And the best way to describe it is if somebody took a hairball, rubbed it in cat poop, dragged it through the cat box, and then put fish in there and put it back in a jar. Once it was in my mouth, I was paralyzed with fear. It was just there, and I didn't want it to touch the sides of my mouth. I didn't know where to go. It was absolutely the worst. The other horrible thing I had in my life was sea urchin.
Ooh.
Sea urchin is I don't know. When I heard sea urchin, I just thought it would be like a calamari. Like it would be some sort of hard, like a conch, you know, like a meaty kind of fish. And instead, it was some goopy thing that it was disgusting, and it made me vomit. I did not vomit from the gefilte fish, but I vomited abusively from the from the sea urchin. It was just blah, blah, blah. The consistency is terrible, but the taste is terrible. But I guess it's supposed to have some sort of supposed to give you, I don't know, make him get biz owners or something.
Oh, yeah.
Like aphrodisiac or something like that? Or?
I guess that's what they say.
Yeah.
I guess anything you can swallow down that's disgusting. They say, you must be a man. Aphrodisiac.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the hotline and welcome to the show. Amazingly, for the very first time, baseball analyst and former, in my heart, former New York Yankee, this is Roy Smalley. How are you, sir?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm amazed that I'm on the phone with you, to be honest. I have harbored this story in my... I don't think that I've shared this story with anyone in the last 30 years. And yesterday, I blurted it out on the air. And then today, Spanish has you on the show today. So this is amazing to me.
Well, I can't wait to hear it. I'm a little worried about getting it sprung on me here, but let's hear it.
First of all, did you enjoy your time playing with the Yankees?
Oh, are you kidding? It was wonderful. It's a a bit of a culture shock going from the Minnesota Twins, especially in those days, to New York. But it was just a blast. I had great memories, made great friends, and playing in the stadium, in front of Yankee fans, there's nothing like it.
There's really not. All the players say the same thing, and I grew up there, so my family, and including my grandmother and my great grandmother, I mean, my grandmother's alive now; she's in her late 80s. But it's a religion. I mean, you watch the Yankee games and you watch the Honeymooners and you go to bed, and they revered these guys on this team as if they were part of the family.
Sure,
I mean,
yeah.
Derek Jeter, I think every grandmother thinks that he's their grandson in some sort of way. And Roy, you were a good looking guy. You probably reaped the benefits of being a good looking guy on the Yankees in the 80s.
I was married and had a son when I got traded, and then my wife had I had identical twin girls a year and a half later. So I appreciate the compliment, but it was there wasn't a whole lot of benefits other than my wife and me.
That stinks because he was a good looking guy in a sea of ugly baseball players. It was like you and Mazzilli were the only good looking ones. The rest of them, I mean, even Gossage had the big dumb mustache and all that. You were like the first. You were like the first handsome looking kid. Anyway, Roy, I'll give you the story, which is, I don't want to build it up, but it's just kind of funny.
Well, the way it came about was we were talking in news the other day. There was a Raiders player. After the game, some of the fans who were Raiders fans but weren't happy with his play were yelling at him, and he actually got out of his car and kind of confronted them, and then security got involved and stuff. But then that brought us to this.
Yeah, this is not that bad.
No.
So do you remember, obviously, Roy, when you left the player's exit, you would go through the walkway out into the fenced-in parking lot, correct?
Oh, absolutely. And used to be like running the gauntlet. It was blocked off by those big police sawhorse kind of things, and we had to know why the fans were out there, and you either got cheered or booed depending on the kind of game you had. You know, going as you walked out of your car.
And it wasn't a short walk either. You had to walk across the street. But then, so also for a fan, it would be an opportunity to get an autograph over there. And you came out, and I was waiting there after a game. And
how old are you?
Oh, I had 10, maybe 9.
Yeah.
And you came out, and I had asked for an autograph, and they were pushing you along. So what would happen was the players would go to their cars, and then they would come out of the thing. And sometimes when you came out, you would get stuck at that light. Why they would make you come out that way is ridiculous.
Yeah, it wasn't the most efficient way, especially if they were going to, you know, move you along into the parking lot to get you into the parking lot, then past the fans.
Yeah,
you know, then to come out there and have to sit at that light, it would kind of defuse the purpose. And actually, it was more embarrassing that way, you know, sitting in the car as kind of a captive, you know, than it would have been just walking by.
Yeah, it's like when you pull up next to a school bus full of kids. I'm always afraid to look at them. I don't know what they're going to be doing to me. You're in the car, so you're getting shuffled along, and you say, "Go over to the fence, you know, to get the autograph." Like on the way out, so then me and a couple other kids run over to the fence, and you get through the fence, and I guess at that point, the light must have been green, so you wanted to go home, and you were like, I'm going to go up here. And then you got stuck, and you were like, go to the light. So now we're running. Now I'm chasing Royce Molly from the doorway to the fence to the light. Now, as an adult, I realize this poor guy just wanted to go home. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So then at that point, I go over to your car. You're at the light. I'm like third in line, and I guess you must have sensed that the light was going to change or something. And then when I get there, after my three-point trying to get to Royce Molly, you go, like you shut me out before I had waited three different times.
Yeah.
So me as a 10-year-old who was a little bit disappointed, and I go, oh, jerk. And I called Royce Molly a jerk.
Right. Yeah.
So then,
well, yeah, rightfully so.
Well, looking back on it now, I can see the inconvenience to you. I really could. You wanted to go home. And I don't remember if you won or if you lost or what the situation was. And I don't think you were alone. You might have been with your wife or a kid or something. And I call you a jerk. And then I look upset, and my mother comes over, and you went and ratted me out to my mother and told me that I called you a jerk. You tried to get me in trouble with my mother.
Well, you know what? You were absolutely right. I was a jerk.
It gets better.
I can't believe that.
At that point, like much like the great St. Peter, my mother denies that I am her son and says, that kid? And you go, yeah. And she goes, that's not my son. Will you sign this? And he signed the ball for my mother. Absolutely. I'll tell you what. I always think about it. I was a pretty poor kid. I only went to a handful of Yankee games. I grew up in Staten Island, and it's expensive, you know, to go to a game, especially in the 80s, and have to drive all the way there and all that. But the couple of times that I did go, I have memories like that. And Roy, I don't know if that was really a pain in the ass for you guys or not on the way, you know, to get out of there. But I remember Oscar Gamble used to call. He had that Rolls Royce with the fuzzy dice.
Yep.
Guidry had a Corvette that with the Louisiana plates that said Lightning on it or something. I mean, those are great memories for me as a kid.
Yeah, it's probably said Gator on it. Maybe it said Lightning. I don't know. But I got to tell you that the difficult part of that for players, at least it was for me, yes, you want to go home. But the problem is you're walking out through all those fans, and there's, you know how, I mean, there were hundreds all the time there in the gauntlet area we walked out. And once you start signing, then it's like, okay, where do you cut it off?
Sure.
And I mean, you could literally be signing for an hour or two there after every game. So that was always a dilemma for me, and because I liked signing for kids, but You were right. I'm pretty ashamed of myself.
Hey, listen, you don't want no 10-year-old kid calling you a jerk either. I get that. I can imagine that now. Fortunately, over the years, because of my job, I've had a much different experience. George Steinbrenner lived down here, and for some reason, he took a liking to me, so he gave me great access to the stadium when I you know, a couple times when he was around, and I have seen it from the other point of view. Poor Derek Jeter, I have seen people just scream his name for hours, just trying to, and he must be, you guys must go crazy, and you got to do what you can for as many people as possible. I get it, but still, it's almost better to walk away with that story than it is to actually get the autograph.
Right, yeah.
Well, you know, I feel a little ambivalent about that story. I really do. It's a great one, but I'm going to live here for a little while, being it, knowing I was a jerk.
I don't think you were. I have not harbored ill will towards you over all these years. I don't. I'm trying to think of who there were. A couple guys that were jerks. You know who? Oh man, there was one guy here. When the Major League Baseball Alumni Association is here, and they would do a softball game every year, and I would get so excited because I'd go there, and believe it or not, he wouldn't play, but Pete Rose would be there, mm-hmm. and Bob Feller was there. It was like all these great players, but then Rick Cerrone was there, and Rick Cerrone's baseball maybe worth $3 to somebody, but that was my catcher when I was a kid, you know what I mean? So that was a big deal, and there was Rick Cerrone, there was Dennis Rasmussen. And there was one other guy, and that one other guy was a dick. Jay Johnston, maybe? Is that sound right? Johnstone?
Jay Johnstone played in that era. There was a guy that used to, let's see, Jay Howell was a pitcher.
Jay Johnston.
I don't remember. Johnstone didn't play when I was there, so it was a different. That was a different era.
There was only one guy to me that I can recall was a dick. The rest of them have been totally cool, and Right. Some of them have gone out of their way to be cool, so it's great.
Wait a minute. Let me get this straight, if I can. There was a guy that was the biggest dick to you. You can't even remember his name, and you put me on your show here because I read you out to your mom.
I think it was Jay Johnstone, but that guy was a dick to me in my adult life, so it didn't mean as much.
Oh, okay.
You crushed my dreams as a child, as opposed to him just giving me a bad dick.
You're right. I was way worse.
Hey, so you do stuff for the Twins now for Fox Sports?
I do. I'm in the investment business here in Minneapolis. I run a team of folks. We do financial planning and manage money for people, and then I do a little bit of TV broadcasting for the Twins.
That's awesome.
Just because I love staying in the game. So yeah, it's fun.
Were you rich when you left the Yankees? Or when you left baseball?
That's a relative term. My life's been pretty blessed.
Yeah, that's
but, you
good.
Know things are different. Things are different. People ask me all the time, especially after having played in New York, what it would be like. You know, how much how well I would have done. If I'd be playing now, and I said, I really don't know. I just know there would be at least one more zero involved.
Oh wow, yeah. Well, we just looked up your celebrity net worth. It seems like you're doing pretty well according to the internet, at least. So that's good. hey Roy, if you will, if I take you off the air, would you give Spanish an address where I could send you a baseball? I'd love to have you sign one for me. It said, "To Mike, you jerk," from Roy Smalley.
It's obviously the least I can do. I'd be happy to do that.
Well, I have to tell you, I don't know how we tracked you down within less than 24 hours, but to get you on the air and you'd be such a great sport, it's certainly a great end to the story, and I really appreciate talking to you.
Well, I don't know how you got to my daughter, but that's pretty great detective work. She called me. She said, "I don't know, Dad. I gave him your office number. I have no idea if this is legit or not."
Oh, this is legit. Most guys would have been like, I don't want to do this. I don't know what I'm getting into. But you were totally like, "Yeah, whatever. I'll do it." That's awesome. I really appreciate it.
All right. I'll send me the ball. I'll be happy to sign.
All right, cool. Thank you very much, Roy. Good to talk to you, buddy.
All right, you too.
Take it easy. There you go. Former Yankee and Twins great, and I believe the Rangers, Roy Smalley. How funny, funny is that?
That's really funny.
What a good dude. What a good sport, man.
But it's totally true. You got to think, you know, it's he just got done with the game. He signed some autographs. He's trying to get out of there, and it's like, how many more do I have to do? The little kid calls him a jerk.
Jerk. I thought I called him a dick, but then I probably couldn't remember. I probably wouldn't have said dick when I was younger. At least not in front of my mother. I'm trying to call my mother real quick to see if she remembers.
There's Roy up there on Bone TV with the mustache. Uh-huh. Got to have the mustache.
He didn't have that in the Yankees.
Oh, yeah, we can't.
Oh.
Good morning.
Hi, you're live on the air.
I know, I could tell.
Hey, were you listening or no?
No.
Hey, so you know who I just talked to on the phone? This is why I tried to call you about yesterday, but I didn't get a hold of you. Do you remember? Look, I have not talked to you about this, right? I have not talked to you about the Yankees or anything recently.
No.
Okay.
No.
Do you remember when we went to the game one time, and after the game, I called a player a jerk, and he got mad and told you on me, and then you lied and said that you weren't my mother?
Oh, God, I kind of remember that.
It was...
I do remember he told on you. I remember that.
The player was Roy Smalley. And
he was driving out.
See, he was driving out, and he made me chase him like three steps for an autograph. And then finally, when I got to him, he wouldn't sign my autograph, and I called him a jerk. And then you came over, and he was like, "Is that your son?" He just called me a jerk, and you did what any good mother would do. You said, "That's not my son," and made him sign the ball anyway.
I don't remember. Yeah. It wasn't my son.
So I tell this story on the air yesterday, and guess who we just talked to 5 minutes ago? The great Roy Smalley. Yeah, Spanish tracked him down, and he was wonderful. I told him the story. He laughed. He thought he was a jerk, and he's going to sign a baseball for me that says, "To Mike, you're a jerk." Yeah, he should write, "No, you're a jerk, Roy Smalley." Isn't that funny?
Oh, my God. That's fantastic.
I know. I wanted to get you on before so we could verify the story, but then I thought once if he's listening, then I'm going to ruin the whole thing. So I figured I'll just let it go. But he couldn't have been he couldn't have been nicer and more understanding. And what a cool guy for going on the air. But good. I wanted to just touch base with you so everybody knows I was telling the truth.
Oh, yeah, I do. The only thing I don't remember is saying that you weren't my son.
Yeah, I remember because you wanted to get the ball signed for me because I was very upset. And and he's like, I saw him. He was pointing at me and looking and pointing, and you're talking to him. And the next thing you know, you came back with the ball, and you're like, "I just told him you weren't my son." Oh, hilarious.
Such a good mother.
Yeah, exactly.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.